Is there enough time in the world to talk about season 10, episode 12, 11 of Doctor Who? There's not, because I'm just frazzled. We got to talk about the Master, the regeneration scene, maybe? A bunch of other stuff. Cybermen? Let's get into it on today's
show. You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I think.
Hey. There literally wasn't enough time.
I feel like the time in the booth is running at a different speed than the time here.
No, that's the joke you were going for, right? Yeah. Not enough time?
Yeah, because we're close to a black hole. So that's what happens.
Indeed. Super loud. Thank you guys so much for joining us on AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show for some craziness. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. The whole panel has assembled. The whole panel is here to break into the penultimate episode of season 10. Lots to discuss. But first, let me introduce you to them. Right to my left, Tari Miller.
Hi, I'm Tari Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's T-E-R-I-J-A-Y. Don't you introduce yourself.
Oh, my name's Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com because my name's Dave Child. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
Good name!
Yeah!
What about you, Zach?
I already introduced myself.
Cool.
Oh, we're all here.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about World Enough and Time, which is the name of this episode. There's a reason for that title, right? You guys understood that, Tyler and I did not?
Yes.
We read articles on Wikipedia and in other places.
Hey, AV Club.
No big deal. So it's from the Andrew Marvell poem called, the poem's called To His Coy Mistress. So that's a kind of a nod towards Missy.
I get it. Missy and mistress are like the same word.
And it also involves world and time. So that's why they were all there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because we got to deal with some alternate... An alternate world, a sister world, if you will, called Mondas.
Twin world. A tenth world, perhaps?
I see what you did there. We're going to get into that in a little bit. Because there's a lot of stuff. There's a ton of Classic Who. It's so clearly Moffat's like last couple of episodes. He's just like, you know what? All these things that I've like... I mean, like, nah, I can't do that. That's too crazy. I'm doing them. I'm doing them all at once.
Yeah. I'm fanboying out.
And apparently it's like a love letter to Peter Capaldi, who was a very big fan of the Mondasian.
Yeah, that was a rumor I heard, is that he got the Mondasian Cybermen as like a going away present, basically.
Yeah.
Aww. They love you got each
these,
other.
You got these creepy creeps just for me.
But what did you guys think of World Enough in Time?
I thought it was a really like captivating episode. It was like the slow build, I think, is what got me, and the way they intersplice between the two times was really interesting.
Yeah.
And like super fun in terms of just like the camera work and all that stuff.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. This is one though that I wish I didn't see any next weeks on. Because it was the next week on was the entire concept. Mm-hmm. And it was the entire everything we knew about this episode was slowly told to us throughout the episode. It's like, well, we knew this is what was going to happen in this episode. But we had some fun. Like, I loved Razor. Mm-hmm. I loved him, and I loved the reveal, and I love all that stuff, which was a surprise. But it was kind of like, okay, finally we got some momentum going, and now, oops, it's a part two. You're going to see that in part two. But I really did like the concept, and it was good kind of hard sci-fi fun.
Yeah.
In it and playing with time and just like the giant arc spaceship. It was cool.
That's the one thing that I think a lot of the articles I read said. They were like, I wish I had known that John Sim was coming back. Like, I wish they just like kept that secret so that you could have that reveal be even bigger. Just because, I mean, I wasn't looking for him when the episode started, but I caught on pretty quickly that he was Mr. Razor.
Yeah.
But
I didn't. Maybe I'm just like,
well, I'm with you, Dave. Yeah.
I picked as soon as he came out like with the gun.
Yeah, as soon as he turned on her.
Exactly. The moment he was behaving differently than that character had been behaving, I was like, oh.
As soon as he, like, put Bill in a trap, and I was like, oh, okay. I thought they just had a lot of makeup character on there.
Like, yeah, which they, I thought which that Dr. the first, Who like, does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But overall, I really loved the episode. I always like the canon episodes, and I was a very big fan of John Sim when he was the Master way back in the day.
Yeah.
So, and that's also probably why I recognized him so quickly as well, because I just happened to be a big fan of him. But overall, I loved it.
This episode is almost like a textbook on how marketing can spoil an episode.
Yeah.
Because like I think that when I rewatched it and I looked through, just like, how is the mystery being built here? How does it rise and, like, get to that point? I think that, especially for most people who aren't super familiar with that original Cyberman design, mm-hmm. that reveal would be a complete mystery. Like, the sock head, like, look isn't enough. It reminded me of the villains from Buffy in the musical episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Silence? No, that's not the musical. The smiling guys?
Yeah.
Or the strangers or something?
Something like that.
That's the Silence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But regardless, I think that it was within the episode, like as the episode was written, mm-hmm. the mysteries play pretty well.
Yeah.
Right.
But we know that we're looking for these things. Mm-hmm. Like, we know the Cybermen are coming. We know that John Sim is coming.
Yeah, which was unfortunate.
I mean, yeah. The one thing I really liked about season 8 was the last two episodes, because I was not anticipating that I would see the Cybermen or that mm-hmm. Missy would be the Master. Right. Like, so I've been watching the whole season kind of being like, who's this weird woman?
Yeah. But that aside,
so it was a much better reveal that time.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
This was a good episode, at least a good first part of a two-parter. That's the thing with multi-parters, it's sort of only as good as, like, once it finishes.
Yeah.
All three.
Yeah, and it also had some, like, good Moffat, like, best Moffat stuff.
This is the Moffat-iest episode
ever. It had, like, creepy, kind of old-timey antique, like, hospital mm-hmm. people screaming out in pain silently as they have bags over their head, mm-hmm. walking down with the, like, lit-up IV bags. Mm-hmm. All that stuff was just, like, great Moffat, real spooky. I like the spooky episodes. That's especially why I like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna swap the order a little bit. Let's talk about the Cybermen now, since we're on that track.
I hate the Cybermen. Like, the Cybermen for me are worse than the Daleks, because there's something incredibly creepy about how they are made. And so, I mean, like, we all know that they're creepy, but just like the anyone you see on the screen, like when I watched it the first time with David Tennant's Doctor. I was like, this is makes me so uncomfortable, because any of these people could become one of them, and then that's the end of them.
Right.
I'm like, oh, it's so unnerving.
But that's what's great about
it. Yeah, it's amazing, but it's also kind of like, the moment that I realized they were on two different time streams, I was like, oh, Bill, she's screwed, man.
Yeah.
there's no way out.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's especially since you brought up season 8, mm-hmm. where Danny Pink got the same treatment.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Maybe this is them trying to kind of redo that storyline a little bit. Like, it could be interesting if we have her becoming a Cyberman and then somehow come back from it in a way that isn't quite the Danny Pink.
Yeah, if we hadn't... Yeah. I would be much more on board with using the Cybermen here if mm-hmm. we hadn't just used them as a major part of... And a major part of a Master-driven storyline. Like, that was... Missy's whole plan was rooted in the Cybermen. And now we have another Master working to defeat and kill... And, like, killing a... side character, companion level character, because mm-hmm. that season Danny Pink was a series regular by turning upgrading them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it doesn't feel fresh because we just did this.
Yeah.
We've done it within this Doctor.
It also just makes me think that it made me think for a minute. I was like, does the Master always like hanging with the Cybermen? Is that a thing that I didn't know about from, like, the,
well,
the Roger whatchamacallit phase or whatever?
Apparently he created the Cybermen, because this is what this whole thing is.
Yeah, it's like the genesis, the beginning of the canon.
Yeah, I don't know that they've ever been tied together that closely, right. But yeah. Like, I think that that's just like within the Capaldi run, that's a parallel that Moffat's drawing.
Yeah.
Right. I will say, though, what you brought up with how we just, that just happened with Missy, mm-hmm. if it depends on how they treat it next episode, mm-hmm. because the fact that that was Missy's kind of irredeemable thing that she did, where she killed Danny Pink and, like, brought on the Cybermen. Now she has
the,
yeah,
the other chick, I can't think of her name.
Yeah, well, now she has a chance to kind of, it reminds us of that moment, mm-hmm. and it has a chance for her to go down a different path. Mm-hmm. Like, if she's able to defeat the Cybermen now instead of create them, it shows how much she's changed, because it's so similar to her big finale moment in the previous season.
Yeah.
So it could be intentional in that sense, and I hope that's where they're going, but we'll see.
I like that emotion, like, mm-hmm. that as a story point. Like, that, I think, is why I'm connecting in this episode. Mm-hmm. But I think you could have easily done that with a different villain. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason that, like, you needed it to be the same villain.
The Master to come back.
To have that parallel of the Master having a plan and then Missy stopping.
Yeah, but
we're helping.
Well, this is go ahead.
I think the Cybermen are just even what I just spoke about, that there's something incredibly unnerving about the Cybermen. Mm-hmm. So I can understand the desire to use it again, especially if you're going to sacrifice. Danny Pink was a series regular, but he wasn't necessarily a companion. So to sacrifice a companion to a Cyberman, I think, is something that's really kind of newer for them, not just like a companion's love interest.
Right.
But I mean, oh, I lost my train of thought.
Do you feel like she's gone, though? Do you feel like they're really not going
to
get her?
So I hate to say that because I love Bill, but if you're going to do it, do it. And just like, even just the shock of seeing her like with a hole through her chest, I was like, oh my god, they just went there.
I have some wild predictions, but
we'll save
part of that. I think it's fair in case anybody's not familiar with the Mondasian Cybermen, mm-hmm. and you're just a New Who fan, you're like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
Why do the Cybermen look like they have socks on their heads? Mm-hmm. This is a callback to the first Doctor. Mm-hmm. And
the 1966 episode.
Yeah, 1966 his last episode. The 10th Planet. Mm-hmm.
Which introduced the idea of regeneration to begin with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's famous as being the first regeneration. It's when William Hartnell's Doctor, the first Doctor, died at the hands of these Mondasian Cybermen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The key difference is, like, the New Who Cybermen come from this alternate universe thing via the Rose and Mickey plot lines. Mm-hmm. Right. These Cybermen come from a twin planet of Earth that was, like, locked in, like, orbit with, like, around the sun, but, like, at the same interval, so it was always on the opposite end of the sun, mm-hmm. so we never knew it was there. And then it got shot off into space.
Yeah.
And then they come back to take over our Earth. And that's the 10th planet. Because
they've been freezing, so they've become cold-hearted. And in order to survive, they created Cybermen.
In order to
survive the vastness of space. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was... I guess this is sort of the ship where... That's, like, leading up to them coming back to take Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One.
Right.
But now it's kind of been rewritten, because it's implied that all of this is happening on this ship that happens to be from Mondas. So it's not necessarily like the whole planet is doing it, but it starts on the ship. And
or maybe the idea is this ship takes the Cybermen back to Mondas, and then they go from there.
Yeah.
Or is the ship going to Earth from Mondas?
Well, right now it's trying to just not go into this black hole.
Right.
So
I think it's somewhere between. I think it left Mondas. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, oh, now we are Cybermen, and then the Cybermen, once they get to where they're going, mm-hmm. Probably the results of next week is going to get us out of black hole orbit
mm-hmm.
and then towards Earth.
I think it's a really fascinating concept that the only reason they even got to the point of Cybermen is because when they got stuck in the black hole, the original people started to just create families with each other. Okay. And populate this spaceship to the point where people kind of forgot what the original intention was. And so now it's just like, this is their planet, essentially, and they think they're dying off, and that's why they create Cybermen.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird cyclical thing of like, if you only realize that all you have to do is just get on this lift, like, go up, and like, figure some crap out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it,
yeah.
It sounds like through the generations, because if you looked at the timer, there was 1,000 years that had passed on the far end of the ship. So, like, it sounded like some kind of mythology had built that led them to believe that they couldn't move throughout the ship, which was really interesting. So,
Yeah, like, they said they'd sent people up to deck 507, and they never came back. Well, they're probably still up there.
Yeah, it's just taking them forever to come back.
We have to go deal with that, because they're moving... 507 is moving, would be moving at half the speed.
Yeah.
So for them, it, at deck 500, it'd be like 500 years
passed.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we assume it's 1,000 on
in
deck
the 10 5, minutes 000. That the doctor is explaining to them, which I was like, don't explain, just go. In the 10 years that, or 10 minutes that he did that, it took 10 years of Bill's life. Yeah. So, like, if they went up and they've been up there for an hour. What's that? Like 150, last 50 years? 100 years. For them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's,
for them versus...
If they went up to like 501 for, let's say, 10 hours they've been up there or something. And they've been gone
this math.
For like almost 100 years?
Yeah.
Or 50?
Maybe not 100, but a lot.
A lot. I'm not I'm an actor. I came on so I could give up math.
Look, we're not going to try to do this math, guys. Yeah.
If you guys want to do it, please let us
know.
We got
nerdy stuff to talk about.
I do feel like, and also you got to remember that all of this mythology might have been created by the Master. He might have been kind of implanting this in people's mind, and he's the one that talked about going to the fifth floor and how that doesn't work, so he might have been, he's probably been orchestrating all of this. Just to kind of create the Cybermen.
This Master was particularly just like, I don't give a...
Watch him. I do like how in this one, we have some great moments where the Doctor's talking about how, like, their friendship and how they were going to see every star, but the Master was too busy burning them to really notice and look at the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Doctor wants to do is have... the Master actually look at the stars and spend some time looking.
Yeah.
So that was great, like, setup.
There's a lot of stuff with that. There's a lot of great stuff in the Master. Let's get deep into it in a minute.
Cool.
Let's finish up just talking about the Cybermen. Because there's a couple other, like, cool moments, I think. Dealing with, like, we get the hat thing.
The hat.
I got to credit, like, I didn't catch this because I didn't have time to go rewatch The Tenth Planet. But I got to credit AV Club for making this catch, and I'm just going to reiterate it.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that when they put the helmet on with the handles and everything, it would make them not care about pain. Not kill the pain, make them not care, which is probably, not definitively, but probably a reference to a line said by one of the Cybermen in the 10th Planet when they're asked, like, what, like, don't you care that you're killing people? And they say, care? Why should I care?
Mm-hmm.
In Cyberman voice, but I'm not going to do that voice for you guys.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
today.
You should do it.
No,
that would be offensive. You know,
which
Cyberman.
One you're going
to
do? The new Cyberman or the Mondasian Cyberman voice, which sounds a lot like Dalek.
Yeah.
I was like, like sounds like a Dalek. Okay,
so. Well, it's all in the tone intonation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Portuguese as opposed to like Spanish.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure the same actor does the voices for the Mondasian Cyberman.
The thing with Cybermen and Daleks is like they're very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yes. Where they go to just to wipe out a planet. It's basically the Cybermen are the Daleks are cool. What if humans were Daleks? And that's what the Cybermen are.
Yeah.
Which is like fine. I like them a lot.
Well, yeah. The main difference is their perspective. Where like whereas Daleks see everyone as inferior, like Cybermen are basically like locusts or vampires in that they see everyone as potential Cybermen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to upgrade
like you
them.
Can be upgraded.
Yeah. Or like a virus, I guess. They are a virus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rather both work.
Thanks,
Zach.
But yeah, any other thoughts on how the Cybermen specifically were handled in this episode?
Go ahead.
The only thing I just wish I hadn't known.
Yeah.
I think I've in passing seen the Mondasian Cybermen before, but if I hadn't have been told about it, like when he revealed the thing that would make her not care,
yeah.
then my, mm-hmm. my head would have exploded. I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God. Yeah. But, like, you know, so that was the only thing. I was like, dang it, I wish I hadn't talked about it. But I thought they were handled well, and just like the whole idea that they're constantly in pain. And
yeah, and
that's
I think,
another added thing that yeah. we didn't get with the newer ones.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have more Cybermen fun next week. I think this this one was more about like these conversion like creeps that yeah. were kind of conversion patients. They were kind of more the bad guy,
the creepy
monster.
Like
doctor
Cybermen Davros like guy.
Yeah,
who's like the basically the father of all Cybermen in this universe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or I'm just assuming the master did it, but like, you know, kind of urged this doctor to go down
just
that.
Like poked him, be like, "What have you did this?"
Because otherwise, it's also funny that the master has been hanging out in makeup for at least 10 years, if not more.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk. Okay. Let's talk about the masters in this episode.
Razor.
Like, well, we start out with Missy, like at the top, going through. Her like it's like her scrimmage match,
yeah,
I guess. The doctor's like, all right, you've watched, now try to be me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm Doctor Who.
It was so weird to have them call each other Doctor Who and keep saying Doctor Who.
Yeah,
that was so weird. It was like
it was wonderful for me.
Yeah, it was great, but it was also felt like someone who had never watched the show wrote the show.
But it also felt like someone who had watched the show too many times and was like, all the people who've been here forever are gonna like think this is great.
Right.
And everyone who's new is gonna be like, why does he keep saying the title of the show? What?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I thought his name wasn't, you told me his name was not Doctor Who. You corrected me so many
but
times.
I've also had conversations with people and they've been like, oh, so what's what the Doctor Who guy, so what's he do? Doctor Who. I'm like, well, he's called the Doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then why is it called Doctor Who? I was like, because that's the question everyone...
This did not help you explain that.
No.
Just send them... Just make them watch this episode.
Right.
And be like, this is everything you need to know about the Doctor.
There you go.
This one's exposition.
And
this one's comic relief.
Yeah.
This
is, those are genders. I like how those are genders.
and Moffat's, like, trolling us with...
With the Doctor Who. And also with Capaldi with saying, Who. Like, oh, I like it. I like Doctor Who. I'm going to be Doctor Who now.
Yeah.
I just met with, like, it's his real name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
Right. That was great, though.
Because we spent, like, 3 years being like, we're going to get the Doctor's name revealed. The Doctor's true name. What's his true name? And then they didn't.
Yeah.
Yes. I know.
Doctor Who. Doctor Who. It made me go, like, oh, did we? I was trying to remember, like, did we actually find out that was his name? Because I remember the chanting Who, Doctor Who thing, and it was like, was that what it was?
No, they just chanted Doctor. You mean the David Tennant when they had to bring him back to life?
Well, because when they were asking what his name was, it was like Doctor.
It was supposed to be the name of the Doctor's name was the password, if you will, to let Gallifrey know that it was safe to come back to this universe.
Right.
And they came back, but like we never heard his name said. Like we don't know what it is now or anything that.
I think, well, one of my favorite parts of this just whole introduction was when the blue guy comes up and he's like, are you human, to Missy? And she's like, don't be a bitch. I would never
how dare you. And also the like everyone, the only friends Time Lords have are Time Lords. Everyone else is just
cradle snatching.
Which is kind of true.
Yeah.
It's because he's just hanging out with people so much younger than him.
Hey, if you're like, let's say your 18-year-old little brother or sister started hanging around with some 70-year-old like dude,
I'd be like, that's cool. You're traveling through time and space? I'm fine with it. Go into that box.
If not, it's weird.
Yeah.
Right?
If not, that is
strange. Now take that and multiply it by like 1,000.
Right?
In terms of age difference.
Yeah, when he looks like Matt Smith, David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston, everyone's kind of like, oh, well, he's just so handsome. And then when it's Peter Capaldi, everyone's kind of like, is he your grandfather? Like, what's going on? What's going on here?
Please, at least say father.
Are you related to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very quickly, this all messes up after the blue guy shoots Bill. And then we get like the doctor sort of trying to. What did you think of the way he was working with Missy from that point forward? Like, mm-hmm. trying to get down the list. There wasn't a lot of it. It was just, like, very quick to, like, mm-hmm. little interspersed with Bill's story.
I feel like we needed more. Because the little pieces that we got were just him explaining. And mm-hmm. then the next interaction they have was essentially them trying to get through the elevator. Yeah. And him assigning her to the computer. And that was kind of it. Like, it showed that he has trust in her, and it showed, like, their relationship where mm-hmm. she was saying that he's being naive and he's talking about how much hope he has. And I liked that. Mm-hmm. But, like, there wasn't a lot of them really being, like, teammates.
I think that was intentional, though, because the whole point, I think, mainly was to focus on Bill. And also when they put in the introduction of, because they're the closest part of the black hole, they're going faster than the other Earth, slower than the other part of the black hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That put them on a time crunch. So he has to get this all out very fast, within 10 minutes. He didn't have to say all that much. He could just knock that guy out and go on, but and whatever.
Does he have a marker in his...
I saw that. I was like...
I love that.
He has erase marker hidden in his sonic screwdriver.
Well, and seeing that he's, especially this season, he's a teacher... Yeah. That makes so much sense.
That's your dad, though. I was like, way to make him, like, the old doctor to have. He just has it ready.
But he's
like,
the teacher.
But I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love me some Peter Capaldi. Okay.
That's great.
He needed one a few too many times. And he's like, well, I gotta have one. Oh, okay.
He's like, I gotta do this quickly.
And it'll never go dry.
Yeah, there's a little mini universe filled with ink inside his sonic screwdriver.
Millions of squids.
Still doesn't work on wood, though. Still doesn't work on wood.
I call it the mini-verse.
Yeah, he can't write on wood.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he can't write on.
Dang it!
Does that mean he can't write on paper?
Probably.
That might be useless on paper. Yeah,
because it is a form of wood. That's so funny. He can only write on, like, flat surfaces. He's Banksy.
Twist! But so once they get down, there's not a ton, like, when they're on the upper decks, except them figuring out what is going on. And that was some really fun, like you were saying, like, hard sci-fi, just, like, ridiculous... like science nonsense about like gravity and time.
Yeah, and they do
I love that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it up.
Love it.
And I'm so happy they just had that little moment, which might have been ADR, but they had that moment of explaining why they just don't take the TARDIS down to the very bottom level.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, why aren't they going in the TARDIS? Why aren't they just making it like a straight trip? Why are they separating themselves from the TARDIS by, like, 400 miles?
Right.
And just him saying, oh, we can't navigate it through a black hole. That's just, like, that's all you need. You just need some made-up gobbledygook.
Of all the reasons why the TARDIS has not been available to them, that's one of the cleanest.
Yeah, it is.
And most reasonable.
It actually has some, like, there's, like, science holds up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because time is wonky. Yeah. And so if you have to travel through time and space... traveling around something that's sucking up time and space, it makes sense. It doesn't.
If we've learned nothing from Star Trek and Interstellar, it's that black holes are complicated.
Yes. Yeah.
And the movie Black Hole.
Oh, also Event Horizon.
Yes, Event Horizon. Yes.
Everyone knows about black holes.
Let's list all the black hole movies.
Yes.
But so let's get into the master reveal.
Yeah.
Because once you get down there, I like the like. No, but I do the computer. No, she's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's evil.
I also just liked Mr. Razor. I thought he was a good character.
Yeah.
I thought he was fun. I loved hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it was John Sim. I maybe should have, but, like, I just thought he was a fun character that I was like, this is a nice little
funny comic relief. And he was bonding. He's such a psychopath. Because I was like, God, he's so... They're just so wonderful. Like, this is like a... Like, I love... Bill with the doctor, but I kind of just love her with Mr. Razor.
Yeah. And it makes him so much creepier, this whole, like, I'm going to get close to you before I get turned
for
you
10
into...
For 10 years he was doing that.
Yeah.
And in that makeup for 10 years, that's tough.
Yeah.
I had to play an 80-year-old man in a music video for 2 days, and I couldn't handle it. I can't imagine being in that much silicone for, like, 10 years.
It's because he likes costumes, Dave.
He's
maybe you don't like costumes enough.
Maybe I don't.
Yeah, I did like the nice little Mission Impossible move though at the end where it like hangs off perfectly and
even put
teeth
a little
in
like,
everything.
Yeah, right.
Chat, I'm curious because I've seen about a split from you guys, but just like real quick, and then I'll like see how the numbers like come through. Did you got how like did you guys know early on that it was John Sim or? Did you...
Are you going to lie did and it, say... well, you're going to lie and say that you knew early on, because you didn't know.
I'm being honest. Like, don't feel bad, because, like, two of us didn't get it until closer to the end. Yeah. Like, it didn't... Yeah. I didn't need, like...
I didn't need
Scooby-Doo to us.
Yeah.
Like, I need the, oh, I betrayed you. And I'm literally... Like, oh, okay.
I actually, fair like, when I realized it was him, I almost... At that, I think I realized it so late, I almost didn't want it in the moment.
Yeah.
Because I
like,
knew.
No.
I was like, I think I said out loud, like, oh, don't Scooby-Doo us.
You've been Scooby-Did, son.
Right.
Except it's kind of, if the guy at the end of Scooby-Doo was successful. Because at the end, they always take it off, and he's like, you meddling kids?
Yeah.
This time he was, I fooled you, you meddling kids.
Yeah. Right.
I just love this. John Sim's just such an amazing actor, because that transition when you see him sit down next to Missy and he's talking about how like he's like such a fan of hers, even if I hadn't known already that he was the master, there's just that creepy beat he does where his like entire face shifts and he goes, you don't remember being here before, do you? And he's like, oh, trust me, I would know. And I was like, oh my god. If I didn't know already, I'd be like, ah. So the way they played that was so great. Or even just how the way that Michelle Gomez played that. It was just, that whole scene between them was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Kind of wish they made out. Is that weird? Because I feel like if anyone's going to meet their younger self and make out with them, it's going to be the master.
I mean, if I met male version of myself, I would probably make out with a male version
to
of
see.
Myself.
At least kiss.
I mean, at least I would know that they know how I like to be kissed and stuff, right?
That's true. That's true.
Or like, you'd find out how bad of a kisser you are.
Right? Oh, God.
Ooh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
It's like Time Traveler's Wife.
Chat, new poll. Would you make out with a future version of yourself that was whatever gender you happen to personally be into?
That's true.
If you ran into that person, you making out with them?
Yeah.
This is getting weird. This is getting real weird.
I don't know. That's like, it's like a real weird existential crisis, but part of me wants to be like, yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean,
yeah,
though technically, I guess it would be like making out with your twin.
Right.
Which I guess you wouldn't do.
No, because it's not, because it's, you and your twin share like similar exterior features, but you and yourself share like everything, memories.
Well, technically, you and your twin share like your identical twin.
Well, yeah.
Share all your DNA,
but you're also separate people. So like, you don't have the same memories. Like I would share memories, whatever. It's just like how the doctor and Missy were having that flirt on season 8, and everyone was like,
"We're getting reactions from the chat." like,
yes,
in response to the "give us a kiss" from your future potential mate. I'm not gonna call out anyone specific. In case you want to be private about it. No, who wouldn't? No. I would, to be honest. No, I would not make out with my future self.
I like the person I have been thinking about this for a while.
No. Yeah, probably. Wait, are they hot? sex with yourself? Of course.
No, like they just jumped
right
smooch,
to sex. We're talking about smooches.
Six.
And lastly, this is so strange.
Welcome to the Doctor Who.
I mean, it came up. Come on.
Yeah.
Michelle Gomez found some very attractive people. They like suddenly got to be down with
it. All right, we're getting back. We're getting back.
We're coming back. We're coming back.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for allowing us to go wildly off topic.
To go back to Missy, I feel like she enhanced her Mary Poppin-ness even more in this episode.
Like pointing her umbrella like a gun?
Using the umbrella as her sonic screwdriver.
That's her sonic screwdriver, yeah.
I know. I always forget that she is like an evil Mary Poppins until she points that umbrella at things. And I'm like, right, of course. And the whole theory about Mary Poppins being a Time Lord herself plays into this.
Yeah.
And
does that mean Missy at some point in her history like just took up a spell
Missy
as a nanny?
Yeah, she could be Mary Poppins. That could be the future picture Missy after she turns good.
I mean, something. Mary Poppins is pretty dark when you think about it. You don't want that woman as your nanny.
Who knows? Who knows what future she, like, what glorious future was going to be had because of circumstances with that family not having a great upbringing, that she was like, no, if I go in and I be good for, like, a few years, the world will fall into ruin.
The funniest fan art you could find on DeviantArt, by the way, is, like, Mary Poppins making out with David Tennant. There's a lot of drawings of that when you go deep into Mary Poppins as a Time Lord.
That's very strange.
Sorry, I didn't go too deep into it.
Because I want to make sure we have time for full predictions, we need to get into that cold open where the doctor is regenerating.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, did we touch on Bill a lot?
Well, we talked about it
a little bit. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
I thought she got kind of the short straw. Kind of sucked that, you know, that happened to her. And just like the whole opening of her being like, just promise me you won't get me killed. I was like, oh, why did you even have to say that? Right. Like, you don't get to include this part. Like, and I don't know. I'm really sad that another black person became a Cyberman.
I am too. I didn't want to say it. But
I was waiting for you to say it, and then you didn't say it. I was like, well,
I implied it with the Danny Pink thing.
Yeah.
And then that's where I was going to leave it. But it's a bummer, mostly because not even just the fact that she is another black person who got put into a. Who got upgraded, and I'm not gonna read into
who died. Yeah, and that too. Well,
but
no comment.
I mostly feel bad because, like, in terms of her story arc, I feel like she was really developing, and for her to just be stopped short like this, is a giant bummer. Like, I know that she wasn't gonna be here the whole season, but, like, I would have wanted her to have some kind of definitive, conclusive end that was more, I guess, upbeat. She got Donna'd, if I were to compare her to anything, because Donna was on her way up, and then she ended up right back where she started, if not worse.
Yeah.
But the difference is, and we don't know how Bill's story is going to end, but with Donna, like, you got this, like, she made a sacrifice, and, like, her life went back to that. It was a twist that was dramatic, and this was just like, there was no like, so far at least, there isn't a strong enough reason or a strong enough thing for what turned out to be a very strong character. I agree with you guys.
They just didn't develop her storyline enough for me. I really just one more time with Bill.
Do you think that they can save it in next week's episode, or do you think it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing? Because it'll weaken it dramatically, or do you think there's a way to... Because I feel like she's not done. I feel like there's going to be more next episode.
When Amy ran into, like, the older version of herself and...
I don't
know. That's, like, the only... They found, like, a loophole to get her out of, like...
Right. I feel like there might be some loophole or something that's going to end up happening.
It's Moffat... is my response to that.
Yeah.
But it's also his last season, so there's no reason for him to put any stops in. There's no reason for her to bring her... There's no reason for him to bring her back. It serves him more if he's like, yeah, I killed a companion. That's how I'm going out. See you later.
That would be great, because he just did this with the last companion, where he killed them in the penultimate episode, and he brought them back in the finale.
Right.
So if he's going to do it, that's why I was like, I hate it, but if you're going to do it, just leave it and just let her be dead.
Yeah.
Right. So it is kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's because they chose her. Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Before we run out of time, let's jump over to the regeneration scene. Mm-hmm. Jump back right at the top.
Sure.
Hell of a way to kick off not the finale of the season.
Yeah.
It's a show, Peter Capaldi falling out of his TARDIS into the snow, regenerating.
I take it that's Mondas that he's on.
I
don't know.
I don't think so. My instinct says it is Earth Arctic. I think this is my built into my crazy prediction. But wait, Dave.
I just think that there's a reason. It's weird that we see the different layers of the spaceship. And we see that in each layer is like a different environment.
Yeah.
And we haven't explored those environments at all, except for the very tippy top, which is a tiny room, and the very bottom, which is a Brazil type dark city. You know? Okay. So I feel like there's going to be. Like the movie Brazil. Not the country Brazil.
I was like,
sorry. It took Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Everyone took a moment of like, wait, what? Oh,
does he really think Brazil's that bad? No,
guys, I'm talking about Dave the movie. Doesn't travel very much. He's
right?
Never seen
That's
a
what
movie.
Brazil is. Anyways, yeah. So I think everything we've seen on the next week on, and also what's happening in the beginning of the episode, I think that might end up happening on one of the different layers. That snowy cap could be one of the different layers of the actual ship. Mm-hmm. But that means he has to get back to the TARDIS and has to go somewhere, so we'll see. Should we get into predictions?
Yes. I just wanted to point out how much he looked like, I want to say, the third Doctor. The white hair and the way he was dressed made him his longer hair made him look like I forget which Doctor, but
interesting.
Yeah, his hair was different.
Yeah,
wasn't
I was going to raise that point. Like, his hair is very distinctly different.
Well, it looked very similar to how it looked on the second part of the Monk episode, where it's kind of like he hasn't had time to put styler in it. So because they do this weird, because he has curly hair, and they do this weird thing where they flat iron it straight for some reason to get it look wild and crazy.
Like, yeah.
Pertwee, they're saying, is who you're thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But that also might be a hint that there might be some time that passes.
Well, time has certainly passed, because when you see his outfit, it's like torn in certain places, and he has like a, I think he had a cut under his cheek.
Right, but it could be years. It could be years, which is why his hair has grown out. Right. Because of these different, the way time's working weird on the ship.
Not much longer.
Oh, it was enough to be like, that's weird. Huh. Like, I think that might just be a year or so, maybe. He doesn't have a beard, or he's not full castaway yelling for Wilson, but, you know, it's on its way.
Yeah. And this could be, we don't know how far into the future this is. This scene could not be revisited until the end of the Christmas special, for all we know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come next.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, actually. So let's go into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Ridiculous theory on you guys.
Drop it.
So I think that he's in the snow, and I think that it is right nearby the Arctic base from the 10th planet, which is the episode where the first Doctor died. I think that real messed up. I think Bill Cyberman is going to wind up being among the Cybermen that kill the first Doctor.
Yeah.
Right.
I think she gets sent off, like, however all that stuff tracks, like, and she winds up, Bill Potts ends up killing the Doctor.
Because
the first one.
They're bringing him back. Well, they're bringing back the Harry Potter dude.
David Bradley.
Yeah.
Supposedly David Bradley. I think the rumor was that, for the finale?
For the Christmas special.
That's what I thought I'd heard. For the Christmas
special. That he's going to appear as the first Doctor.
Yeah. Well, we know that they cast him. Mm-hmm. The theory, because he played William Hartnell in An Adventure in Time and Space, is that he would play, just for anybody who didn't hear this news.
Right.
The theory is that he would be playing the first Doctor.
Yeah.
Which lines up.
Yeah.
And with all the classic Who stuff, like the Mondasian Cybermen, it feels too convenient not to bring the first Doctor into it somehow.
Right.
Like, it has to connect. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to wind up with Bill killing the first Doctor.
Right.
Capaldi Doctor 12 going back to try and, like, stop it or whatever, and in that process gets himself killed. So it, like, he ends up dying in the same place as his first regeneration.
So basically he created a closed loop. He sentenced his first self to die.
Yes.
Yeah.
His actions killed his first self.
I was gonna say,
the most Moffat-y thing ever.
Yeah.
I think there's at least going to be a moment where he has to consider just letting the ship go into the black hole. Like, I think there's going to be a moment where it's like, this would change time, this would change a lot of stuff, but if I let the ship just go into the black hole, I could save a lot of lives, and he'll probably have to consider that and maybe go against it. But
it could be something where he essentially rewrites his entire timeline by preventing the death of the first Doctor. And so the new Doctor is being set up with like an entirely different backstory because there's a different writer and everything.
Oh, God.
Which would be just a nightmare.
We erased everything that you loved.
Oh, that would be such a DC move. It would be such like a new 52 Doctor Who. Oh, right? I hate that.
That'd be insane, but they could. 50
Who?
They could.
They literally. 50 Who?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. They go back. Peter Capaldi saves the first Doctor. It changes his origin. And then, like, David Bradley's William Hartnell's Doctor regenerates into a brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
No.
My head.
It could be everything.
Ow, my no.
The past 50 yeah. years erased.
I still like the idea. I still like my idea that Missy's going to become the new companion. Mm. And that's yeah. where they're headed. And yeah. that's why he specifically said, I want to have her see the stars instead of just burn them. I like to believe, hopefully, that they're setting up for a new Master and a new Doctor to kind of travel space.
That's 100%.
Michelle Gomez has already said that she's done. So she's not coming back. But I also kind of hope maybe we could just give me like a little bit of evil Doctor. Just like make this the thing that breaks him and he's like bad for a while and Missy's turned good and we get like 5 episodes of that next season.
Oh, that's interesting if it ends up they flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you get to have the, I always forget his name, but the evil Doctor.
Oh, the Valier.
The Valier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you have like a good-hearted master like trying to control
and stop the Valier.
I don't know. I like it. I feel like that could be interesting. It also might be like very confusing.
Yeah.
But I want this Doctor Master like at least one season of that. Mm-hmm. Like to me, that is how this show becomes fresh again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is not another human that the Doctor is like taking with him and teaching but and
an
all
equal.
Stuff.
Even
but,
he
like,
said that.
Yeah. In equal and not in the way that like Moffat always said Clara was an equal.
No, she was
like
not.
No, like a true Time Lord equal mm-hmm. who knows the Doctor better than anyone. There's no mysteries mm-hmm. around the right. Doctor. The Master knows them all.
Even their banter in that split second at the elevator, I was like, I could watch a season of that.
Yeah.
And you could turn the Doctor evil and I'd still be here. I don't care about newbies. Whatever. It's been 50 years, okay? Watch it.
Right.
Yeah. On Amazon.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely want to see the 10th Planet before next week's episode. Mm. I'm going to try to track that down on Amazon or something.
Let me check. I might have a DVD for you.
Cool. Sweet.
It may also be on Hulu.
Hulu.
Oh, yeah, because they have old Who.
Yeah.
They go back and forth. So episodes go up and down on some of the streaming services. But check it out. The final moments, his final generation has been recreated it with animation because the footage was lost.
Oh, yes. I remember.
Oh, right.
And if you actually, if you go back in this podcast a ways, Tari, were you there with us?
I was.
Yeah. Tari, me, and I believe it was Megan Salinas and
Katie
Cullen did a recap review
classic
of The 10th Planet
on
this podcast forever ago when we were doing Classic Who watches. So you can actually go back and get our thoughts on The 10th Planet if you dig deep into iTunes.
Yeah. Nice. And for those who were not in the know or who were like, well, why does that have to be animated? Because footage was lost. Why can't the actor come back? The reason why regenerations even happened is because William Hartnell died. And so they're like, well,
he was getting sick.
He was getting sick. But he died before the even...
Well,
he
that's
died, true, right?
Didn't
no,
he?
Because
he was
in the last episode.
He actually even appeared later in a Three Doctors
in the
special.
Three Doctors.
He was getting sick, and he was having his mind was going to the point. If you watch an Adventure in Space and Time,
mm-hmm.
They go into this a lot where he couldn't remember his lines very well. They had like stashed scripts around the set for him, stuff like that, and it was just like it was time to move forward with the show. But like for the first time, they were like, "We want to continue the show without our lead," and they came up with this idea
of
regenerations.
It was still a recasting. I just thought dude died. My bad.
Yeah, but anyway, next week it looks like we're gonna get all kinds of different Cybermen.
Right.
We got that crazy shot with like the two, like, Missy, the Master, and the Doctor all, like, pointing their sonic slash lasers in front of them.
I love the Master's new look. I'm all about the little throwback to the old Master.
I'm really excited to see what they do in it, which is effectively, like, a Master version of the Day of the Doctor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, the Master looking ahead towards his future and not being okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then having to reconcile that fact. The poster is like the Day of the Doctor, but with the Master.
Direct copy.
Yeah. It's
cool. Very cool stuff. We'll be back next week to talk about the season, or not series like this, the Doctor Who is ending, Britain, like series like Britain series.
It's a season finale.
Season finale of Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Next week, titled The Doctor Falls. Tune in with us to
which
break
means
it down.
It's going evil, you guys.
Next week, Sunday at 8 p.m. on AfterBuzz TV's YouTube page. Until then, I have been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Send me all your theories on what you think is going to happen, and whether you think, this is the big question I'm going to leave hanging while we sign up, do you think we could get a surprise new Doctor reveal in next week's episode? At That's Zach Wilson. Tari Miller.
Hi, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TariJay.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild or DaveChild.com. I'm going to be jumping right onto the Preacher panel after this, so if you watch that, watch me there.
Hi, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thank you for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.